Before we get into this episode of The Hassle of Hair, we want to give a big shout out to our sponsors. First up, we have Castro's Pool Service and Repair. If you guys need your guys' pool serviced, maintenance, clean, fixed, Castro's Pool Service and Repair is the place to go. Their phone number is 209-675-5418. That's 209-675-5418. Check them out today, guys. Support those that support us.
It's bike day.
I'm Jesse.
I'm Raquel.
This is The Hassle of Hair, a podcast.
Going after your dreams.
A podcast about going after your dreams.
Okay.
But no, it's a podcast about going after your dreams and finding your passion in life.
Yes.
And we're The Hassle of Hair.
We're The Hassle of Hair.
We are The Hassle of Hair. Thanks for listening, guys. Love you. So you started off in Muay Thai, and yep. I thought you were at a gym where your dad run it, because your last name, what's your last name?
Martino.
And his was Martinez.
So, yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, shit, he left his dad's gym for resistance. I was like, God damn.
No, not that serious.
But how'd you end up at, it's how do you say the gym that you're
Audacious.
At before? Audacious. How'd you end up at Audacious? Like, where'd you grow up? Like, how'd you get to Muay Thai?
Yeah, so I grew up in Fairfield, and I kind of did some random martial arts, you know, off and on as a kid, but not very serious, like taekwondo for a few months, shoot fighting for a few months, which was like a form of stand-up and grappling. But I was actually working as a UPS driver, and I delivered a Fairtex box, and it said Audacious Muay Thai Academy on it in Vacaville, which is right next to Fairfield. And I knew, I was like, what the hell? If there's a Muay Thai gym around here, I would have known about it.
Yeah.
So I actually left a note for the guy and asked him to contact me because I wanted to be a part of whatever he had going. And that was in 2016. And then from there on out, I went into fighting full time. Like, I was like, fuck, I'm gonna make it my thing.
Oh shit. You could turn this way. Like, I think this would be better. If, okay. Like,
I could cuss, right?
It's you can fucking cuss all you
want. Okay.
Shit, cunt. but yeah, dude, like, how'd you end up, cause you wrestled in high school. You were just at that. How did that meet go?
It went good. So just for a full disclaimer, I only wrestled my freshman year, and yeah. I wasn't very good, man. I was really small. I didn't really have a mind for competing. I didn't really know how to learn martial arts like that, so I kind of just got ragdolled a bunch. Yeah. But my high school did do their first ever alumni duel, and I got to be in it. I'm like, okay, well, I could wrestle now, so yeah. I'll definitely sign up and do it. And well, I won.
Did
I
they
won
just hit? They hit you up? They found out you're a fighter and like.
No, they made a post. I'm still friends with two of the guys from our years are the coaches now, yeah. And they made a post about it. So it was a fundraiser for the current team. So I was like, you know, I like kids and I like seeing them do their thing. So I was like, oh, it's a chance for me to compete at something, a chance to raise some money for the current team. So yeah.
Wait, did you win?
I did.
Okay. So you wrestled your freshman year and then you came out of high school and then who'd you end up wrestling?
This dude, Mark Ocampo, he was like one of our better wrestlers, like in our high school's history. So,
yeah,
he like wrestled at state and stuff. So, yeah. And he was way bigger now. He was like over like 180 when we wrestled. So, he's pretty strong. Man. I was like, oh, God.
So, you beat a state champ and you beat.
He wasn't a state champ, but he just got to go to state, okay. You know. I don't know if he placed or what place he got at state, but he just compete. But still, it's like you have to go through like nationals and a couple other things to get to state, you know. Yeah.
Cause I had you on my podcast before when I was trying to do the Muay Thai podcast, and that shit was too much work. I was like, but
for Luke, man.
Yeah, yeah. Oh fuck. Yeah, Luke is he's a different. He's. I think. Were you heavier that time? Was that a heavier weight? Like what happened?
Man, I mean, there's no excuse. He is really good.
Yeah.
But I think we fought at 160 for that fight.
Yeah.
But also too, just. My first pro fight coming off of the pandemic where I had like a 2-year layoff. And to be real, like when I got to that venue was crazy because there's like a lot of big names at that. Like Kevin Ross was fighting. Yeah. Asa was fighting. There was a lot of people I really looked up to in the Muay Thai industry. And I feel like the moment got to me a little bit. Like yeah. I remember even walking out being like, dude, I don't know if I'm supposed to be here right now. Like, yeah. like you see people in the crowd, Joe Schilling, Artem Levin. It's like, it just, it was a lot, man. Yeah. And I felt really like just disconnected in the moment. And then he ended up getting the better of me. He rocked me in that first round, like when he caught me and with the elbow, and I kind of started backing up. from there on out, I could not even see, dude. Like, like my vision was so messed up. And so, like, that dude is, I'd give it to him. He got the better of me for sure.
You know, you talk about the ambiance that you being in that arena
with
the different guys. And it's crazy because people don't realize all they see is the end product, right? They see the fight. They see the crowd. They see the everybody cheering for the winner. But they don't see, like, when you're training, it's literally, like, what, at most 20 people, right? Or even on a sparring day, it's, like, 30 maybe. And it's, like, pretty chill. It's not, like, crazy, a big crowd or anything. The pressure's not.
Everybody's not watching you. Yeah. They're all doing their own thing.
Yeah, and then you get into it. You go to a fight, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, here's Lucas. And you're walking to the crowd, all eyes on you, two people. Like, you know what's crazy is, like, if you ever see that fight with Chavez Sr., the boxing match?
No, maybe. But
he fought in the Azteca where it was 100,000 people.
Oh, wow.
That shit's fucking wild.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, can you imagine 100,000 people fucking.
The energy that just comes off of them cheering, dude, would be insane. I mean, that's the goal now, though, you know? Yeah. But
that, you're in a different place in your career. Like, you went from amateur, you went from fighting pro Muay Thai. You went to amateur, then pro Muay Thai, then now you're 2-0 in MMA.
Yeah.
And you're in a different place in your career where it's like, fuck, dude, like, 2-0. You got a really good background in Muay Thai, and I feel like people don't want to fight.
Yeah.
It's hard, and people don't realize, like, pro fighters, you have to get a fight to build yourself. And, like, talk about how hard it is to get a fight when.
Yeah, so you would think me having zero amateur MMA fights would make people want to fight me a little bit more because I should have no grappling, you know? Yeah. But yeah, after I won my first one, it was against an alpha male guy where he tried to grapple me a lot, and I was able to, you know, shut it down and be successful with my Muay Thai. Second fight, I got to actually be offensive grappling a little bit too.
Yeah.
And now it is a lot of people, especially in our area, are choosing to turn down the fights using my amateur Muay Thai experience as an excuse to not fight me, you know. So that's been definitely tough.
And because you worked your ass off, right? Like, I seen that you told me you're going to different places. You're going to Ryan Hall.
Yeah. I get to go out there. Ryan Hall. I mean, between myself and Eddie and Darren, we've all gotten to help him with his stand up, and in return, he helps me with my ground game, and so I've gotten to go out to Virginia a few times and train with him for his stand up and my grappling, which has made a world of difference.
Yeah, know? And it's can you tell the different level? Like, you see Eddie, who's this Muay Thai, like, expert, right?
Yeah,
like, it's his field. Like, do you see the difference when you go roll with Ryan Hall?
Oh yeah, you know. Even, like, again, you look at Ryan Hall, he's not a super athletic dude. He's not hella strong. He's not hella explosive. But and still, he's on a whole nother level because of his mind and his understanding of technique and structure and what he's trying to accomplish in the round. You know what I mean? Like, he's not out there just flowing and hoping he finds something. Like, he's got steps. He's building towards something. And when you see that and you feel it and then he explains it to you, it's like, oh, shit. Just like how to think about martial arts, in a sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's where I think Ryan really stands out, even compared to other grapplers and stuff.
So you talk about, you're like, fuck, man, should I even be here? So, like, you're around Kevin Ross and you're on that card. Then you're, like, going out and going training with Ryan Hall. Like, you're there, bro. Like, like you're fucking there. I don't know. So what do you do other than fighting, man? Like, what do you do on your off days or your rest days? Like, what's there to Lucas that people don't know?
Man, right now, I'm not going to lie. It feels like a lot of my life revolves around either me fighting or my friends have fights and I'm going out there. You know, I have other hobbies. Like, I grew up, like, riding dirt bikes or, you know, snowboarding, wakeboarding, things like that. But choosing to pursue fighting kind of has put me in a spot where, you know, I'm not going to go spend the money or the time to go do those things right now because say I get hurt doing one of those now, you know? So, like, again, I guess just hanging out with my friends and just relaxing right now other than fighting. But I'm pretty tunnel visioned on trying to get as far as I can get right now.
Yeah. Were you an elite athlete like in high school, or did you plan on trying to be a, did you play any sports in high school that you're trying to go to college for?
So my freshman year was the only year I did sports in high school. I did football and I did wrestling. And again, I was really small. Like, even compared to, like, I know I'm not like a big guy right now, but I was short and I was light, and I just got like bullied in both of those sports, and I didn't like that. And at the time, like, my parents had gotten a divorce, so I kind of, after my freshman year, I just stepped away from all school sports. I didn't really want to do it. I was more into like individual sports, like dirt bike riding, snowboarding. Maybe sometimes I'd go golfing, you know, things where it's just me. I didn't have a team, which again, kind of like fighting, I didn't really like to rely on other people, maybe. Yeah. or vice versa. I just wanted it to be on me, win or lose. I wanted it to be on my shoulders. Nobody else I could blame. Yeah. You know, plus I didn't have great grades in school. Like, after my like junior, senior year of high school, dude, I was a troubled kid, like in terms of just grades and skipping school and stuff. So there would have been no option for me to do school sports.
Like, you're like, were you like getting in trouble, like, or just smoking weed all the time, or what was it?
Man, barely even smoking weed. Yeah. Again, like ditching school a lot. Like, that was just be my biggest thing. Like, me and my friends just didn't want to be there. And once I got, so I had a car and my ability to leave, and
yeah,
you get cool. Like, you get a little, in the older grades, you're cool with people on campus that'll, like, the monitors that'll let you out and stuff. So, like, my freshman year, like, halfway through the year, I had like 87 missed classes, but they were all excused because I made a fake email as my dad. And I emailed the school being like, oh, please excuse Lucas from absence today. We had like a family thing, or he had a doctor thing. And
yeah,
I got caught up with that about halfway through the year, though.
But, how'd they find out?
Man, so, at the time, I had a stepmom and I had stepsisters, and I would drive my stepsisters to school. They were younger than me.
Yeah.
And my truck happened to be like in the shop, so my stepmom let me borrow her truck for the day. And I had made up like an excuse for her to pick up the sisters after school. Like, oh, I got to go do something with my friends, or I forgot what I said. I had a reason that she needed to come pick them up because I was ditching that day.
Yeah.
And, well, when she came to pick me up, she had picked up my truck from the shop, and she was like, let's switch cars. Oh, I said I was, like, at tutoring at the school, so she thought I was at the school. So she's like, let's switch cars back.
Yeah.
And I wasn't there, and she goes to the office being like, where's Lucas? He's supposed to be in tutoring. They're like, no, we have an email that he was supposed to be absent today. They're like, actually, we got a lot of emails.
Yeah,
like I said, it was 87 classes in like the first half of the year, but they were all excused. Like, yeah. I never got truant or anything like that.
What would you go do?
Man, honestly, go to like, we have Scandia by my high school. We go to the mall. Like, we literally just go fucking kill time and just be dumb, you know. Like, I had a little part-time job and stuff, so I had like a little bit of money for a high schooler, so, you know, I could go buy us lunch or go watch a movie. Like, it just didn't want to be at school. I wanted to be an adult so bad, I guess. Yeah. You know, which looking back is hella dumb. I want to go back, dude.
Nah, like, I think, feel like school's meant for like some people.
Yeah.
Like, that shit's for some people. Like, I was in school, I just sat there. I was like, fuck, dude, I don't want to be here. Like, even like going back to college, like even thinking about going to get my degree, thinking about doing general ed, like, fucking gives me anxiety.
Yeah.
Like, just shit that I don't want to learn.
Yeah.
Like,
or that you feel has no purpose.
Yeah.
Like, again, like, dude, I feel like when I was a kid, people misunderstood it as, like, I was lazy or I was dumb. But I'm like, dude, I'll learn what I want to learn, like fighting, martial arts.
Yeah.
But I'm like, some shit in school, like regular classes like that, like, I don't think I'm ever going to really use this. And I can recognize that. And if I think it's dumb, I'm not going to focus on it. You know, it just is what it is.
What hit you? Like, what was there, like, a change in something that because you got to put that energy into something and then find discipline, right? Like, yeah. What changed it?
Man, well, so, again, I don't really talk about this kind of stuff too much, but when I first started that journey with Audacious, at the time, my dad and I had like, a big falling out, and I had moved out. And I was like living and like on a couch in my homie's like garage, basically like at his aunt's house. So I was like really struggling, but choosing like that I was going to pursue fighting, you know? Yeah. And I was like, I don't care. Like, so once it became like, you have no other choice, like I'm choosing to go all in with this. Again, it wasn't easy. I don't actually feel like I'm a fast learner when it comes to martial arts. Like Muay Thai, like I got videos of the Thai trainers we used to have just beating my ass, or like, you know, I was like a little bit softer too, and they would get on me, like they would beat me up, and they'd be like just trying to like bring out a little fight in me and stuff. Yeah. So it took a while, you know. But again, once I learned how to learn, if that makes sense, like I learned how to, I knew how to move my body, I knew how to take in knowledge and yeah. reproduce it, and then it started to get a little
so
bit
you
better.
You were like, you were on a couch and just said, I'm going to pursue this fighting thing. And you didn't have any, like, expertise. Like, not expert. Like, you didn't have any gym. Any gym you were at? You were just trying to find a gym? Or?
Well, no. Once I found Audacious,
you were like, I'm in.
Yeah, because I helped him start moving. And I just hated my job at UPS. Like, yeah. I could already tell that's, like, the kind of thing. And it's no disrespect to anybody that maybe is a UPS driver, but for me, it's like the kind of thing I would have hated my life in another like 5 years. Yeah, dude. Like I was already there, you know, I was yeah. a young guy, and they just kind of take advantage of you being like a hard worker. Cause it's like a union and stuff. You're not promoted based on hard work or anything, you yeah. know, it's just, so I would have hated it. Right. And once I chose to do that, and me and my dad had the falling out, and I kind of was like, I'm on my own. I was like, fuck it. No one can judge me. No one can think this isn't right. I'm just, for whatever reason, I think I can do this. I don't really know why, but I was like I said, living on the couch, and my friend lived with his aunt, and I was in their garage just every day. And so I was, you know,
do you look back on that and like, how that's fucking wild, dude? Like,
yeah,
no, like no direction. Like fighting's not a thing where it's like, it's like, oh, dude, there's a shitload of money at the end of yeah. the tunnel for everybody, right?
Yeah,
and then like, most, yeah. you just fucking found your way through it somehow, making it to a level that a lot of people don't make it to.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fucking wild.
At the end of the day, man, I do think it's about like pursuing, for me, it became about pursuing happiness over like money, you know, because yeah. again, UPS, that's a job people retire from. You get, make six figures, you have benefits. So like on paper, I was set. But it's like, if you hate your life every day, or you look at these guys that have been there 20 years, they hate their life every day. Yeah. What am I looking forward to?
Yeah.
You know? And for me, I was like, again, it's maybe cliche. Some people would disagree, but I'd rather be broke and happy than yeah. have money and miserable, you know? So, again, I just felt like, I feel like when you pursue happiness, the world kind of has a way of working itself out. You know, it's not always right away. It's not always easy, but if you follow the path and you believe in it, I don't know. It's like it just appears all of a sudden, like solutions to problems or like things like that, you yeah. know? So,
but this is coming from a guy that was in high school who saw as somebody that wasn't smart.
Right? Yeah.
yeah. right. It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's fucking crazy. Cause like how many of your friends like went to school? I mean, not everybody, right? I don't want to put it down that much, but like how many of your friends went to college and like, dude, they don't do shit.
Yeah.
Right? They got degrees and they didn't do shit with it because yeah. there's no work ethic behind it.
Yeah. Or they come out and they, I mean, again, it's no disrespect. Everybody's path is their own, but go to college, spend all that money, and then you come out and just get a job you could have got without doing all that. You know yeah. what I mean? It's like not everybody always gets a job in their field, or, you know, not, especially not right away, you know? And again, do they really enjoy? And don't get me wrong, there are people that have kids and have wives and have families they have to support. That's a little different because yeah. then you have to be willing to struggle and grind because you have a family. But me, I'm a single guy with no kids. So I was like, I'm willing to struggle. I'm willing to miss a meal or two, or, you know, sleep on a couch here and there because of the dream that I have. It's just me, you know? Yeah. So,
what do you see yourself? Like, you talk about that you had a dream. Like, what's the dream?
Well, the dream has definitely evolved now.
Can we turn that off, or are they using that?
Yeah, you could turn it off. Sorry. Do you know where the remote is? No. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
So the dream has definitely evolved. Originally, it would have been to... Yeah, I mean, I guess the dream... I don't know. The dream is weird. At one point, it was to be a pro Muay Thai fighter, and I did yeah. that, and I lost both of them. You know what I'm saying? You have 18 amateur fights just to lose your two pro ones. But at the time, you know, Eddie had been doing his Bellator stuff, and that's how I got on MMA, and I've been having success with it now. And again, I've cornered Alexis at the UFC. I've trained with Ryan Hall. So now it's like the dream is to make it, or the vision. It's not even a dream anymore, but it's like an actual goal that could be a reality. Like, I would like to make it to the UFC, or to make it as far as I can in that realm, you know? And it actually feels real. It feels like it's attainable. Like, I see people around me that have done it, and they're helping guide me, from Darren to Ryan to Alexis, you know? So that's where the goal's at now, man.
But that's kind of like what changed your direction, right? It was just the people around you. I mean, right? Like,
yeah.
When I'm hearing you, like, and I think about it, like, you got Darren, Alexis, you got Herney, you got all those guys, like, around you.
Yeah.
That, like, have lived it already, and then they're, like, guiding you. Like, especially, like, high level, like Alexis Davis or Eddie Avasolo, and then, like, all of them are high level, and then it's like, okay, well, you got the best, some of the best guiding you. Like, fuck, where do you think you're going to go?
Yeah. You know, we talk about, like, how I had that kind of, like, my mental game wasn't good for the Luke fight, and how I kind of broke before the fight even started, just on the moment. Same thing happened a little bit again. Not as bad, but a little bit in my second fight. And people like John, and like, kind of was one of the people to recognize maybe that I was almost giving up on myself before the fight even started, you know? And sometimes that's hard for people to admit. It makes them maybe feel like they're not good enough, or they're not meant to be a fighter, you know? But I really appreciate John for taking that time to talk to me about it, and in a way that wasn't like to put me down, but to like, let's really figure this out, because it's not the skill. It's not the, like, I have the drive to win. It was just the way that, like, the way you're dealing with your own thoughts, or the thoughts that you're letting come into your head, you know? So John acknowledged that, and he helped me, and then Darren as well has helped me a lot to be able just to hone your mind, you know? Like, it's crazy how much the mind is a factor in fights, more so than even skill or
dude, it's not just
cardio.
Fights. It's not just fights. It's fucking life.
Life,
dude.
Yeah.
Bro, like, I know so many people that talk negatives themselves. Like, every time I talk negative sometimes too, right? But like, every time I do shit, like, I'm like, I fucking got this. Like, and it's some crazy shit. And you're like, what the fuck are you thinking? Like, dude, I'm going to start a podcast. Fuck it, dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but you talk about the way you talk to yourself, and so John tells you, right? Like, what's the road to making it better? Like, how'd you make it better? Like, because you went 2-0 after.
Yeah, 2-0 in a sport that should have been harder for me in a sense, you know.
I don't know. I feel like Muay Thai is a huge X factor, because Muay Thai is like, besides the ground, right?
Yeah. Well, you can't just glance over that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yes, I can go out there and I can strike better than these guys strike for strike, but what if they're not giving me that option? And
I'm not talking about the striking. I'm talking about like the grappling.
Like stand up grappling.
Yeah.
I do feel that, clinching and stuff, it does have a big part in like stand up wrestling and stuff.
Yeah.
But again, like in both of my fights now, I've been taken down, and like one guy tried to like get me in the crucifix, and one guy had my back and was like rear naked choking me. And it's like, again, there's nothing in Muay Thai that will save you from that. You know, it's like it's a little bit of everything. You know, it's my ability to shut people's ground game down that allows my Muay Thai to flourish, because they can't take that away from me. You know, I'm not letting them. But in terms of the mind, like you said, for me, a big part of it was like, I guess I'm almost like too much of a realist, in the sense that like anybody can win or lose. You know what I mean? Like, you've seen that with even Israel Adesanya last night. Anybody's capable of winning, and anybody's capable of losing.
Yeah.
And
there's only two people in there.
Yeah. And it's 50-50 chance, you know? And it's sometimes my mind would go to the route of like, well, damn, what are the, like, if anybody can win, like, what are the chances that I win? You know, why doesn't, like, this is like moments before, you know, or like little thoughts where through training, actually, I feel like is the biggest thing. I would just train hard. We would do like our MMA practices where I'm pushed beyond my limits, and you keep going. And then it's like my mind starts to change to like, well, why not me? Like, what's to say that I'm not going to go beat this guy right now?
Yeah.
You know? And I know it might sound weird or like minuscule, but it's just like I said, I'm a realist that anybody can win, but you need it to be like, well, why not me, as opposed to, well, what are the odds that it is me, you know?
Yeah, it's because I had a conversation with the guy that does like mental coaching, like mental, like mind coaching, or what's it fucking called? But he does it for the military.
One of those things.
Yeah. But he does that. Like he works like different drills, the way you talk to yourself, the way you handle situations, all head shit, right? He does it for the military and he does it for athletes. And I was just talking to him and he was saying it was like a muscle, right? Like it's just a muscle. Like you just gotta, it's just like anything else. You gotta work at it.
Yeah.
And it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. That's why like you see somebody that, you see the pros here at Resistance in Pleasanton, California. No.
Shout out.
But you see the pros here, I mean, pretty sure their mental strength is way, way harder than the person, way stronger than the person just walking in for the first week or something like that, right? Like,
I think the important thing for me, though, was just what you said, was when I got surrounded by high-level athletes, and you see that they also maybe occasionally struggle with, you know, their own self-doubts and stuff, and that, like you said, you have to work at it. Yeah. I don't think anybody ever has no doubt or no like negative thought that ever enters their mind. It's just how you twist it or you let it go, whatever the process is for you. But once I seen that even the best in the world, you know, occasionally question things, it kind of like made me relax. Like, okay, maybe I'm not like a weirdo or something. Or like, I'm just, like, again, you feel, maybe sometimes you feel like, oh, maybe I'm not meant for this because I'm having these thoughts or these doubts, you know, but it's like, you see it, it's like, oh no. Which again, through training, like training till you feel like you're at that limit and then you go a little bit more. It's like, what now you don't have to fear gassing out or fearing, like, it's just things like that, you know. Yeah. It is, I do think you're right. It's 100% a muscle that, but if you don't acknowledge that maybe you're weak there and you just try to pass it off, like, no, I'm not having bad thoughts. It's like,
you pass it off by saying, like, when it gets hard, like during practice, you're like, oh, fuck it, I'll just walk out.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean,
you're like, been, oh, I'm tired. That's it.
You've been in rooms where there's like guys that are working to pro or working to fight. And I've been in rooms where they just, where people like get to that point and they're like, all right, guys, I'm gone.
Yeah.
And they just take off. Like, and it's like, dude, how, like, I don't know, man. It's just, it's wild. But, like, you know what's so crazy about fighting is, like, so you have to build yourself, right? Strengthen your mind, strengthen your body, build yourself to end up making that money, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But then you think about, you have to work at it. You think about football and all these high level sports. Like, teams are literally like, all right, here's millions of dollars. We hope you have it together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and you have to build yourself when you get there. Like, I don't know. It's just, it's a crazy fucking sport, dude, to be fucking doing when you like, it takes strong fucking people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, but like you said, the beauty of it is that nobody has to accept you. Like, no NFL team has to accept me, or like basketball team has to pick me. Like, if I want to be a fighter, I can go do it if I want to. Like, there's no, you know what I mean, though? It's like, it's your choice. Like, fighting is just all from the moment you choose to do it to every fight, you're willing to bet on yourself. You know what I mean? And I kind of like that. And I think that I like the people that are willing to,
I've seen
to
some,
bet on themselves.
I've seen some people bet on themselves, like at a Indian reservation. And it's like, oh, fuck it. Like, out of shape dude gets in there and he just fucking gets hit to the stomach and just drops, dude. Like,
hey, that's the confidence I want. No matter what, you'll get in there.
Nah, man, like, I don't know. So like, what's next? Like, how are you gonna try to find a fight? Like, who do you want to fight,
dude? All right, I'm gonna just all right, dude. Well, honestly, I would like to get a fight in California so I don't have to travel again.
Yeah.
There's been a couple people. One, I'm going to just say their names. You know, it's all respect, but Michael Bueno.
No respect, Lucas. No respect. You're going to fuck him up.
Nah, dude. Hey, we go Miyagi-Do style. We respect our opponent, but still, we're still trying to win. But now, Michael Bueno is a name at 155 in MMA, local guy. Yeah. He's, I think, 1-1 now. I'm 2-0. I'd like to fight him. Another dude. He actually just beat one of my teammates. I'm kind of just trying to avenge all my teammates too, but Matt Chapman, he's 1-1. He's out of El Nino. So these are all dudes within our area. And then there's a dude that my boy George fought on A1 that I would be down to fight too. But I got to look up his name. But again, I don't know. A lot of the people in the area, we should be down just to get some experience so we don't have to travel. Because none of us are getting paid a lot, even at even in MMA. The first few fights, you're not getting paid a lot. So why do we want to have to travel and do that? We might as well be willing to fight each other locally. So any 155er in California, let's do it, dude. I'm down. As long as you don't have like 30 fights already or something, something crazy like that, man. Let's make it fair. I'm 2-0 though. Let's run it.
What do you think the difference is like in Muay Thai? What is the difference between MMA and Muay Thai when it comes to like the branding and the exposure? Like, I remember you talking about it before to me.
Yeah,
like on that first MMA fight, you're like, "What the fuck, dude?" Like, yeah, like,
dude, it is it. Obviously, that first one was cool because it was on UFC Fight Pass. It was the Uriah Faber show. And I mean, again, I had 20 fights before that, two of them pro Muay Thai fights. And I'd never been hit up by like management company. It never had people like post clips on Twitter. But then one fight, MMA fight on Fight Pass, and that, like, I look up my name on Twitter, people are posting clips, they're talking about it. Yeah. You have management companies hitting you up. And again, it's not even like that fight was that big of a deal, but it just shows you, like, you put on a good show in MMA and that shit gets seen. You know what I mean? People take no. I don't understand it because I love Muay Thai, but I don't get how people don't give it its same credit or its same respect. But they, maybe because it is the fact that there's more rules and they feel like people just like the idea of like a ultimate fight, like anything goes kind of, I guess. But
that, and then like, I don't know, man, like I'm friends with a few people that are like in the industry of MMA, like behind the scenes and stuff, like do stuff, work for different promotions, and like,
shout out. No.
But like I always tell them, like, because one of them works for, it's not UFC, right? And I always get mad because UFC is like the leading the way of like just promoting in general. Like, you think about Muay Thai, like, I don't know, I feel like it, you could promote it. It's, dude, a lot of promotion you could do from your fucking phone, dude. And like, you could get somebody that just working, that knows how to work a phone and get good, like all the shit that you see on UFC, I could do that from my phone.
Yeah.
Like all those graphics and shit, like I could do that from my phone.
Oh, tight.
And probably because I'm fucking crazy and I just sit in front of my phone all
practice
day. But like all that shit, like you could do it on your phone, and people are just thinking that the product is just going to fucking sell itself.
Yeah.
And they don't want to put in the effort.
Yeah.
Like, you guys are fucking training in a fucking room all the fucking time, like wrecking your bodies, training your bodies. It's like putting more effort for these fucking fight promotions.
Yeah.
That's what I don't know.
You know, too, we just kind of dealt with that with my boy Brandon Olson. Shout out, Brandon. He fought last night on Dragon House. And even that promoter, I mean, I don't know him, but he like kind of getting on Brandon for how many tickets he sold and stuff. It's like,
it's,
dude,
a pro fight.
Yeah,
it's a pro fight. And exactly. He said, what the
it's fuck? Like, bro, you're the promoter. Like, you promote it. Brandon's job is to train, to fight, to make weight, and to show up. Like, we already have enough stuff. Everything always goes wrong in fight camp as it is. Like, it's just like an omen in people's lives. Hella shit goes wrong. Like, we don't even be worrying about selling tickets and this and that. Like, it sucks that, like, you're basically mad at yourself, but you're taking it out on Brandon. Like, promote the fight better then, dude. You know?
I don't fucking know. Told him that? Like, wait, is it like a thing before? Like, hey, if you're going to fight for me, like, you have to sell tickets?
Well, that's not in the contract, no. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he would like him to, yes. And he did his best, but it's like, How are you not, you can't hold the fight, you can't expect your crowd to only come from the people the fighters bring. Like, you should be going around whatever, and this isn't just the one I'm talking about, promoters in general, like, go around your cities, hand out flyers, put up things at coffee shops, like, shouldn't be on the fighters only to promote it, you know what I'm saying? And that is kind of how it comes down now, especially for local shows. I mean, obviously the UFC One Championship, they're not expecting their people to promote it. It's like what you said, they're doing it themselves, you know.
Yeah.
One Championship just takes videos off of the people's Instagrams.
Exactly.
But
that's what I'm saying.
It's not like they're doing that much.
But I'm telling you, it's that fucking easy. It's just like, you know what it is? It's the industry is kind of like a little bit run by older people, like over 40.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like super older people over 40. Coach Jose's right here. No, but it's like the industry's run by a little like older people, and it's like, hey, like get with the times, like, dude, you get some young people in there, and they could change shit. Like,
yeah.
I know they're trying. You know, they probably are. There's probably.
In terms of Muay Thai too, though, I think it. Because it's not about just the promotion. You got to get people willing to like want to tune in to watch it, you know? Yeah. Which, again, I shout out ONE Championship.
ONE Championship. That's what I'm saying. Like, they're putting fucking effort in.
Yeah. At least, like the Rada Tang DJ thing was, like, probably the most shine a Muay Thai fighter has gotten.
But even, sense, you know? But dude, like, if you watch the Haggerty Rada Tang fight.
Oh, yeah.
Do you see how many people are in that fucking crowd?
Yeah.
It was before the... Dude, that fight was fucking nuts.
Yeah.
Like, and that's a Muay Thai fight. Well, it's small gloves.
But that is over in Asia, too. You know what I mean? We got to see if we can, like, recreate that in America. Like, to imagine, like, an American stadium as full as the UFC, but for Muay Thai. Like, that's got to be the goal. You know what I mean? Like, in Asia, Singapore, they give Muay Thai a lot more respect. You know, it's the Americans that we got to try to get... They want to spend their money, go watch it, feel like a real stadium, you know?
Triumphant did a fucking dope-ass job. With all the cars they come out with, like, the way they do it, like, even their graphics and all that stuff, I'm like, dude, I'm like a nerd when it comes to, like, graphic design. Like, anything that pops, I'm like, holy shit, dude. Like the Triumphant, the purple one, when you, I think you fought
Miami,
Dude, that purple fucking poster, it's fucking dope. Yeah. I don't know. Like,
and actually, the Triumphant in Miami was one of the cooler venues that I'd ever fought on or seen, even for Muay Thai. Like, not the promotion, but just how it was set up, like with the lights, and it was in an amphitheater, and they had like the camera on like a big boom stick. Like, I was like, oh shit, this is like some real production.
Yeah.
You know, but. Still, as good as they do, it's like they're not able to fill a stadium yet, even with, you know, Asa fighting Kevin. So it's like we have to keep trying to find ways to, because even though I don't do Muay Thai at the moment, I still have like kids that I teach and like two sisters, the Medina sisters, that are coming up in Muay Thai and like as kids. So it's like I want them to have I knew myself wouldn't be able to ever have a crazy career in Muay Thai just the time that we have left.
Yeah.
So I did jump to MMA, but like let's keep building it so the next generation does potentially have a real future in it. Yeah. You know? There's only a few, like the Eddies of the world, that are like really able to make real money off of it. So let's find ways to try to get more people like that, you know?
Yeah. And like you talk about the Medina sisters.
Shout like, out. No.
But like how's that, like teaching kids is crazy. It's hard, man. But then like it's hard to find those different kids, because a lot of parents, like, so when I taught the kids, that a lot of parents would like change my kid into that kid. You know, like point at the kid that's super fucking good and drooling out the mouth to fucking hit somebody. Like make my kid like that. Like, it's like some kids are just different, man. Like like they just gotta want it, and like you could get them so far. But then there's that edge that some of them have. Like,
You know, it's crazy. I don't know what's in the water in Vacaville, but we actually, again, when Audacious was a thing and we were at like our fullest with kids and stuff, we had a lot of kids, like probably like 20 kids that would want to fight, and we'd go to the MDLs or the YDLs, whatever. Yeah. Like, and again, you know, they weren't all like hyper aggressive, but they were all wanting to compete, you know, and they want to do their best. And so that was really cool. It was cool to have like a crop of kids like that. But at the same time, just like I said, I wasn't that kid. I wasn't hyper aggressive. I wasn't super. So it just takes like the methodical people a little more time, I think. It takes some time.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, I don't know about your experiences, but mine, like young girls are more aggressive than young boys.
Dude, like, so I had a long. So first off, like, so watching my daughter grow up and then being around like boys and girls and like seeing them learn, dude, just like. Young boys are just, I'm sorry, they're just dumb, dude. Like they're just dumb, and just like they're just, I don't know, girls just mature faster, but then But then, like, once these boys turn into men, it's just a whole different ball game. Yeah. But it's, you're right, dude. Like, they just, they go at it. But you know what's crazier is when you go to the, not the MDLs, but I haven't been to those, but like the PKBs and stuff, and you're watching, like, they go, this is for a belt, the PKB belt. And like, they go, this is for a belt. And then they had these two kids fighting and the fucking crowd's going crazy. And these two kids are in the middle. I was at one where, or even the, during the fucking, oh, they didn't have kids. I don't think that. Yeah, during the pandemic when they had it in Reno.
Reno, yeah.
Dude, like, they had, like, kids fighting, and there's, like, a bunch of people in the, like, on the side just fucking cheering. And, like,
going
every time
wild.
If the kid fucking wobbled, they're like, fuck yeah. Like, it's like this kid just got cracked, and they're just fucking screaming. Like, it's fucking hilarious, dude.
How come you guys haven't done the MDLs yet? Is there, like, a reason or just?
Well, when I was teaching the MDL, like, I don't know. Let me hear your thoughts on that. Like, so teaching kids, like, to compete without hitting head.
Yeah.
It's hard for me. Like, even, like, let's say, like, if I get a kid and, like, take him to a competitive level, and it's, like, it's hard to say. Because I was even talking to my wife about this when it comes to taekwondo tournaments or karate tournaments and, like, it's not realistic. I like it to be real.
Okay. So here's my thoughts on that, because it did take us a while to – we all had the same kind of thoughts. In general, when it comes to Muay Thai, you got to start asking yourself, what are your goals? Like, do you want to just teach kids to be, like, fighters, or do you want to teach them real Muay Thai? Like, what we would consider beautiful Muay Thai, right? Like, checking, kicking back, teeping, offsetting, clenching, turning, right?
Yeah.
That was our goal, right? And which I know a lot of people, your goal, a lot of people in the Bay Area do care about authentic, you know, as close as we can get to it looking like Muay Thai, not just people swimming and going crazy.
You can see the different gyms, the styles, when the kids start going like this.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, dude, they're just wild. They're just having to spar all the time.
Yeah. So keep that in mind, that was our goal, as well as these are kids, man, right? Like, I don't know about you, but I don't love to see kids get hit in the head, like their head getting snapped back or them having real things. So the MDL's whole thing is to teach kids the structure of Muay Thai first. The fact that I should teep if you're running up on me, that I should check kicks and reply back, that I should catch kicks and sweep. You're learning the structure of how Muay Thai should be without targeting the head yet.
Yeah.
And the other benefit is, like we were talking about, not every kid is hella tough off the bat. And how many kids have maybe gotten deterred from it because of the idea that they're getting banged in the head off the bat and they don't like that? Where it gives kids a chance to practice and maybe compete at a lower impact level, to where they could see if they like it and maybe it builds them up. And even worst case, if these kids are in a school fight and they don't punch the kid in the face, but he teeps them in the gut or knees them, I promise you, it's still going to be effective.
Yeah, and it's not going to look as bad. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
So that was one thing Crew Patrick was really big on, is like, our kids aren't in Thailand. They don't need to fight for food for the family right now. Like, we could protect their head and try to teach them like a real structure of Muay Thai, that idea that we're not just swimming, but we understand what our style is. We're a punching style. We're a kicking style. We want to clench. We want to catch and sweep, you know? So it sucks because they don't always do winner or losers. But again, it's like,
I think that was the big thing too.
Yeah. Yeah. But again, it's like winning and losing, it's like kind of sucks, or it's tough. Cause again, you'll have the kids where if they lose, they're done. They're going to go cry and this and that. So I think, it's a good environment for keeping kids like wanting to do it. Because at the end of the day, whether a kid wants to be the best fighter in the world or not, I don't want them to like resent Muay Thai or grow to hate it. I would like them just to be an enthusiast, just to still train for fun, whether they want to be the best fighter in the world or not. So it kind of gives kids a chance to try it and it not be the worst outcome if it doesn't go their way. You know, if one kid's crying and they both get their hand raised, like usually they're feeling a little better, you know? So again, if we want to win or loss, we'll go do an amateur or we will go do PKBs. But it's like the MDL is like a good way to
start off point.
So yeah, good starting off point. They give you cards where they'll judge the attributes. How was their balance? How was their defense? How was their ring experience? Yeah, it's things like that. So it's like, it's a lot more like we're getting reps and it's not the worst. They're not coming out of it banged up, beat up, discouraged, you know, things like that. Because, like, our kids in America, they just need reps, man. They just need reps, reps, reps. Yeah. And so that's why I don't mind it. And then when the time comes that they go headshots, now it's like, okay, just target a little bit higher. Now they're putting their punches with their kicks. Yeah. They're not just swimming for the head.
It is hard when it comes to saying, like, okay, just body them. A lot of kids drop their hands, or they'll be like this. They'll have their hands up their chest.
But is that the kids' fault, or is that on us as the coaches? Yeah. I'll hold my kids to a standard of, because look, in those body shot fights, kids mess up. Kids get hit in the face all the time. So it's like, you should probably have your hands up.
Yeah.
So it's like, I still, because you are right. That is a thing. But I look at that as like, it's on me as the coach to hold them to a higher standard still, you know?
Because the PKBs would work, right? Like, I mean, they do work. It's the same. But you're saying, what about the health for the kids and not getting hit in the head? And what about the ones that are not aggressive, right? Like, let's help them. But then they would be able to do that if all the coaches were held to a standard.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you get these gyms that come in, like they just have the kids spar and just wing it out. You know what I mean? But if they actually were held to the standards, like, hey, let's see what your kids could do. And then it's like, okay, they could come to the PKB. But it doesn't work that way.
Luckily, like, the MDL too, though, it generally is like a group of coaches in the Muay Thai community that, if they're doing the MDL, it's because they do care about holding a standard and they want it to be... again, not the term authentic, because obviously that's like, there's a lot of debate on what that is and stuff, but just, we all know Muay Thai is the idea that I'm not going to just take kicks and try to punch. I'm not going to just run forward. I'm going to check. I'm going to have rhythm. I'm going to teep. I'm going to clench. I'm going to like step off. Like, you know what I'm saying? That whatever style you like, but just real Muay Thai, you know? And so that's why. And again, the thing for me is, like, let's say we have a kid that one of my girls fights a kid and their hands are down and they're kind of taking advantage of that. Like, okay, it doesn't matter. What can you work on still based off of this? You know? So that's the thing. It's not a perfect system, but for the positives. And again, doing MDLs and stuff got like over 4 of our kids from Audacious on like either the junior IFMA team or the junior WBC team. So it is a proven system that has helped our kids, like kids from all around, you know, California and the U.S. now get
on the team. I mean, it's the same. I guess when I think about it, it's the same mindset of T-ball.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you're not going to pitch to a kid right away.
Yeah.
You're going to build them.
Yeah,
and just reps
flag football before flag tackle. Football,
yeah, a lot of parents don't do that. They just let them fucking go into football.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which is again, don't get me wrong. There is something that comes with like the, because with football, like, you do have to develop a toughness. You know what I mean? And a mentality. But again, like, what we like is like think about Muay Thai is like, bro, you go through like an Iron Man clench round where you're clenching somebody every minute and they're fresh. Like, you don't have to get hit in the head for that to make you tough mentally, you know, having to go through stuff like that. So that's what it's just recognizing that getting hit in the head is something that, until they're at a level where it can really matter, it's amateur fights or they're really doing it for something, we could just we could avoid that, you know.
Yeah, I haven't seen a kid get knocked out yet, but
I don't think I think it's actually kind of harder for kids to get knocked out.
Yeah.
But it's just that idea, like, again, they don't usually have strong necks and stuff, so their head's just getting whipped back.
Like, I'm telling you, I've seen that. Like, parents fucking, a kid's head just goes boom, and they're like, yeah, it's like oh, that motherfucker's never been hit in the head before. Like,
especially by, like, you know, someone that maybe knows how to do it.
It's like, fuck, dude.
The parents are wild, dude. I remember, like, back in our days, we'd have our parents getting into it with parents while the kids are fighting and stuff. It's like,
dude, just... No, but like, what's your take on, I mean, what's, you talk about head trauma, like, you do this sport, right?
Yeah.
And it's not something that always wants to be mentioned, or especially when you're first starting off as amateur, like, you kind of don't even fucking think about it.
Yeah.
Right? And like, you know the risk, you know what's happening, right? You're getting hit in the head.
Yep.
Like, what are your thoughts on that? Like, how do you deal with that, knowing that you're getting hit in the head?
Yeah. I guess for me personally, it comes down to, like, even when I'm, like, was learning to fight or I'm developing a style, defense is my primary objective. You know, at the end of the day, I want to win a fight, but I also want to protect myself in the fight to my highest standard, you know. And I mean, other than the Luke fight, which I still think I should have, I don't think it should have got stopped.
I know you were you showed that you were upset that it got stopped.
I got dropped, but I started standing up right away and they stopped it. I'm like, I don't get an eight count, nothing. Like, what's crazy is when he dropped me, I felt like I actually snapped back. So that's why I was like, what? I'm good. But no. Minus that fight, though, I haven't taken a whole lot of damage because, again, I do take a defensive approach where it's like, if I can defend everything and I'm not in danger, then I can find ways to be offensive, you know. And I try to, the kids that I coach, I try to help them pass that on, because again, at the end of the day, it's like, if it is a fight, we are, I don't know, maybe it's a wrong mentality, I'm sure there are moments where I'm like willing in the fight to, you know, go out on my shield if it comes down to it, but again, I've taken a defensive approach.
And yeah, well, the first step is like, the first goal is to like, okay, outclass them.
Yeah.
Right? Make them look stupid. If you could do that, make them look stupid. That's better than fucking, I don't know. That's, make them look stupid is cool. Like, I think Customato, his fucking, I don't know. I never met the guy, but just reading his books.
Well, you're not that old, just.
But like Customato, I believe he trained Floyd Patterson. Floyd Patterson, his heavyweight champ before Tyson. He had him just like work defense for like 6 months. It's like, you're not going to throw a punch. You're just going to fucking work defense. That's it. Like, and then once I see you slip in, once I see you actually like head movement, all that stuff and blocking, then you could throw a punch.
Yeah.
It's super key. I mean, Floyd Mayweather, I mean, he's fucking good.
Yeah.
People say he's boring. It's like, well, fucking hit him then.
Like, and it's like, you know, I actually had a coach that gave me this analogy and it made sense to me. Like, if we have two fighters that really only develop their offense mainly, more so than their defense, and they're just going at it, you basically have two glass jars and you're just slamming them together, seeing which one's going to break first. Yeah. Like, you don't know, right? You have no idea.
Yeah.
It depends on which one's thicker, if one of them has like a flaw in it. But when you start adding defense and stuff, like if you're coming at me with everything you got and I'm shutting it all down, there's going to be a moment where you're like, you're going to stop and be like, fuck, what can I throw to hit this guy? Like, it gives me a chance for my offense to flourish, as opposed to, and at the same time, you're defending, you're seeing what's opening. What. So again, I like a defensive approach, you know, even in MMA. That's,
and me and you, we've worked at we've worked security at the bar before.
Shout out Diego and 5 points.
But like, so I was new to this. Like I'm not confrontational. I don't think you're confrontational either, right? Like you're pretty chill, right? So like, all that was new to me, to see people brave enough to fucking just fight anybody. Do you know what I mean? Like that liquor courage, like. I don't know, man. Like, dude, people are stupid.
That's what I was going to say. Is it braveness or is it stupidity for those people? You know, because, I mean, like you said, they're not even thinking. So I don't really consider that, like, brave personally, you know, but they're just retarded. You know?
Have you ever had someone try to fight you that's never trained? Since you're at the level you are now, like pro,
not or? Like a one-on-one, not like call me out at a bar. I mean, we obviously had a couple altercations at the bar now, and then I got blindsided that one time, and that shit pissed me off because I should have known better. No, I don't think. To be real though, like I was saying, I'm not really a person that, other than when we're working, like you won't really catch me at a bar or a nightclub just hanging out. So I don't really put myself in a lot of positions to have someone want to fight me one-on-one. And like you said, I think that in general, I'm a nice guy. I'm a personable guy. I'm not carrying myself with an ego. So no, it's been a while since I've had like a dude that's in my face trying to fight me. So
it's like, because most of the guys that train like full time and fucking fight, they're super nice. They're not even they're not even trying to start shit. Like,
it's like, dude, we get beat up all day. What do we want to fight for right now?
Dude, I was like, fuck, dude, what am I going to do? Like, when Diego first told me to go there, like fuck, man, what am I going to do when someone tries to get in my face? Like, it's so hard for me to get amped up. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't even let people get in my face. Like, I just, like, make sure I have my distance because, like, you don't know what the fuck they're going to do. Like, I don't know. I've been more weary of, like, where their hands are. If someone has their hand in their pocket, like, fuck, dude. I don't know.
Yeah, man. You know, like, for me, too. That time when we got into that fight and there was a couple dudes, but I went up behind. I wanted to go like choke out one of the big guys. I thought it was like my moment. I thought it was like a movie. I was like, oh, I'm gonna get the biggest dude, choke him out. But his boy did. He did blindside me, and that got me kind of mad because it's like one, I should have been more situationally aware than to just focus on one dude. Yeah. And two, it is like, what if he would have had a bottle or a knife? Or luckily he just kind of hit me with the worst shot ever. But what if he would have caught me clean and it like drops me? So it does kind of make you. It almost takes nice people and puts us more on edge. Like, hell no, bro. I'm not getting caught like that again, dude.
And it made me, like, it's helped me with, like, because I deal with, like, I never want to be confrontational. I'm like, fuck, dude, I'm pretty fucking nice. But, like, working at the bar, like, has made me fucking build, like, a fucking tolerance.
Yeah.
Like, not a tolerance, but, like, an edge. Like, get the fuck out of my way. Yeah.
Dude, the worst weekend for me was, I think, like, one weekend before my MMA fight. And I'm sitting there like, D'Lo, I swear, the first person that does.
Because you're cutting weight, dude. Yeah.
Like, and I'm just on it. Like, I'm swinging. I don't care. Like, that was the only time I had no patience. But nothing happened, luckily. But that would have been one of those ones.
No, but, like, what you... You have you're 2-0, right? You got your MMA going. Like, where do you see yourself? Do you see, like, when you get to the moment? Fuck, dude, I'm fucking rambling right now. I had a fucking question, and I fucking forgot it. A good question. It had nothing to do with fighting.
We didn't even smoke, dude.
Yeah. Like, fuck, dude, I fucking forgot. But I don't know, man. We're getting close to the hour.
No.
I have a few more questions, but I'll cut this out once I fucking remember. That's my brain trauma.
Was it about, like, after fighting or?
No, it was about security.
Oh, security. Security.
I should have notes.
They should pay me more for security, man. I get, like, you know, we get like $1,000 for 15 minutes or something in an MMA fight. Diego's got us out there fighting for 4 hours for.
Oh, this is what. Okay, I got it. Thank you. No, it was something that I keep on telling myself, right? And I was doing the open mat with you guys just because, right? Like, I'm not just training
bullying
for.
Bullying all of us.
Yeah, whatever. I was like, whatever, dude. You took me down today. But I was getting I'm not a wrestler. I tried to get a double.
Neither am I.
But Diego, like, when it comes to jiu-jitsu, a lot of people just do it. And working at the bar made me realize this too. Like, they think it's self-defense. It's self-defense to an extent, but, like, you can't do the sport of jiu-jitsu on somebody at the bar. Right, like, I had deep half on Diego, and he's just like, I was just.
Oh, you did.
Huh? Yeah.
Good for you. That's a position I'm actually trying to work on.
Dude. Well, no, I had deep half, and he's just like, and I didn't really have, like, a doorway out of that. Like, I just had it. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was, I don't work that. He started just like hammering. We weren't doing MMA striking at all, but he started just hitting me in the head.
Yeah.
He's like, come on, man, you got to move. You got to move.
Yeah.
And it's like, people think, like, It's so crazy when you see, like, a jiu-jitsu guy going to MMA sparring and all of a sudden they start getting hit and they're like, what the fuck,
yeah,
dude? That's why MMA is, like, elite martial, like, elite, like, self-defense.
You know what's crazy, though, man, is actually through training with Ryan Hall, he actually uses deep half in MMA fights a lot, and he feels it's a position that
hides his head
that I should work on as well. Yeah, because it's like, one, it's like anything, you don't want to just get stuck and pause there, but if you're able, you can get to it from, if they got you in half guard, or, like, if they got your back, or if they have you mounted, those are all times you can get to it, and it's like, again, it's not, your head's at a spot where the shots might be annoying, but they're not going to be able to knock you out, and if that means that it's getting you out, it's good. You know, he I mean, maybe I shouldn't say this, but he'd be using it, and he wants me to use it, too, so even like that, it's like you maybe have a part of it, but you just need to know what the end goal is with it, or where you're, you know, how to get where you're trying to go with it, because it is still a powerful move. But you're right, there are things, like, I don't want to go pull guard and in a street fight, yeah. Right? But yeah, I think it all just has its place. Like, let's say I'm in a street fight and I slip and fall, and the dude's gonna jump on top of me. Then, like, yeah, maybe I will use guard in that situation. You know, yeah. But again, if we're both starting on our feet, no, I'm not just gonna pull guard. I think everything has its time and its place. But yeah. If anything, I do think wrestling is a little better for.
Oh, wrestling! Yeah, dude. I've seen someone at the bar, literally have somebody had double underhooks, and he still couldn't get the guy down.
No
or
way!
Like, or like out of the bar, and
at our bar?
Yeah, and
after we're gonna help you, whoever it is.
But he doesn't train.
Yeah,
he had double underhooks, and I think he was doing like shoulder.
Like, shoulder shot, oh, shoulder strike. Conor McGregor,
but
out.
It's just, I don't know, man. Like,
if Colts beat fucking,
I don't know. But we'll wrap it up, man. I just anything you want to shout out, anything you want to say before we.
First
end
of
up?
All, man, thank you, Jesse. From before even I had any real success, man, you had me on that the Clinched Up podcast,
fuck
and
yeah.
And you've been real supportive. And whenever I have fights, reaching out to me, you know, even maybe like I said, when you seen my struggles, you still supported me, still believed in me. So yeah. I appreciate that. I appreciate you having me on this because I do love seeing you. Pursue your dreams. You know, any of us that are pursuing our dreams that maybe people think we're not supposed to be doing, I like those kind of people because we don't want to do all the shit that everybody thinks we should be able to do.
Yeah.
You know, shout out the Resistance and my teammates. Shout out, you know, Darren, my main MMA coach. Shout out Brandon. He shouted me out on a podcast. So Brandon Olson, my main 55 training partner. But not just everybody, man. Everybody that's part of this journey and believes in me. Love you all, and just getting started, baby.
Fuck yeah! If you
someone
guys
fight me, no.
Go look up Lucas. If you guys like this guy, I've sparred with him. I've seen him spar, and like he's talented, and that's why I keep on reaching out to him. He's only 2-0, but hopefully that goose egg never goes away. And because if it never goes away, you're a millionaire.
Yeah. Hey, there's no plan on it anytime soon.
but thank you guys. Also. My wife does a photo booth, so hit up my wife's photo booth, guys. It makes us money, but all right, everything else, peace.
Tight.